Congregation, our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ through the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Congregation, we continue in the worship of God by singing from Psalter 373. 373, we sing stanzas 1, 3, 9, and 10. Congregation, this evening we turn in our Bibles to John chapter 1, John chapter 1, and we read verses 1 through 18. John 1, verses 1 through 18. Hear now the word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So far, the reading of God's word, our text for this service comes from verse 4 and 5, 4 and 5 of John chapter 1. We confess our faith this evening with the words of the Apostles' Creed, and may all of you join with me in making such confession in your heart, saying, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us respond to our confession by singing together from Psalter 152, 152 stanzas 1, 2, and 5. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in Chilliwack, in our Advent season, we have been considering the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ more from a theological perspective. We began by considering that promise that the Lord gave to Adam and Eve shortly after their fall into sin. And we considered that not only in the context of the context and the promise that was given, but also the final victory which was to come through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then a week after that, we looked even further back into eternity, and the Apostle John looks back before the creation of the world into eternity, and he reflects upon the person and the work of the Lord Jesus from the perspective of heaven. And we find that in the first three verses of this chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. But then in verses 4 and 5, John is saying that he is life, and the life is the light of men. And this means that Jesus is the source of all light and life, both natural and spiritual. And listen to verses 4 and 5, which is our text this evening. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The darkness did not comprehend it. Note that John is mainly concerned in this context with the fact that Jesus is the light of the world. Christ is the true light who gives light to everyone who comes into the world. And the Lord Jesus himself would later declare, "I am the light of the world." So our theme in consideration of these verses is Jesus Christ as the light of the world. We will see how this light first shines in the darkness, secondly, resisted by the darkness, and then lastly, overcomes the darkness. We read first, "And the light shines in the darkness." Now, what is this referring to? Well, first of all, it's helpful to understand what is meant by light. What does this refer to? Well, again, this brings us back, doesn't it, to the very beginning, to Genesis 1, verses 3 and 4, where we read, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness." And you may know that John, in many ways, in these first verses of his gospel account, he is looking back. He's paralleling with the beginning of Revelation, the first chapter of Genesis. The first time light is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 1. And here in Genesis chapter 1, it refers primarily, of course, and exclusively in some sense, to physical light and darkness. But if you're familiar with the Word of God, you know that the term light often refers to a spiritual understanding or enlightenment. Already in the Old Testament, we read of the significance of light as referring to our spiritual understanding. David said in those well-known words in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Or in Psalm 36, verse 9, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light." And in the New Testament, God himself is described as light. First of all, by that "I am" saying in John chapter 8, verse 12, where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And John writes in his epistle, "God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." And so we see that light refers to the shining of the gospel and ultimately to the Lord Jesus, who is the light who shines brightly in the darkness. And so there are several ways in which the light of the gospel shines. When we have been captivated by the light, our Lord Jesus Christ, our lives are changed, aren't they? It is the light of the gospel that has opened our eyes so that we can even rejoice, saying, "Once I was blind, once I was in darkness, but now I see." It is the light of the gospel that enables us to see hope and to have hope. It is because of what Jesus Christ has done in coming into the world that this light has already shone and we can know life. It is the light of the gospel that reveals our sins to us. Children, when you walk in a dark room, the first thing you do is turn on the light. And if that room is sufficiently lit, it lightens the whole room, including the corners of the room. And so the gospel works as well. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 9, verse 2, "The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." And this ultimately is prophesying of Christ, where it is particularly through him that the light of the gospel shines the brightest. It is this light which leads and guides us. We think of the light that led the people Israel through the desert during the Exodus. Or in Psalm 119, we read, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And Jesus himself said, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And if you want a plant to grow, you place it in the sunshine, don't you? And likewise, we grow up, don't we, spiritually, as the light of God's word shines upon us. So in the beginning, God said, let there be light. And today, the light which shines is the light of the gospel. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so life is found in the light of the gospel as it shines in our hearts. And so we're called to shine as lights in this dark world. The Lord Jesus even calls us in the Sermon on the Mount to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and may glorify our Father in heaven. And so if you're walking in the light, you no longer enjoy sin, because sin is darkness. Paul says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord? Walk as children of the light. And so when you're a children of the light, then you no longer are a slave to sin. You no longer a slave to darkness, but a slave to righteousness, because darkness and light, they cannot exist at the same time in the same place. John states in his epistle that if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so if you do know the light, then we have to be walking in the light. And so you can ask yourself, am I walking in the light, or am I still in bondage to sin and walking in darkness? We'll consider that more fully in our second point, when we see that Jesus, as the light of the gospel, is resisted by the darkness. We read that when the light shines in the darkness comprehended it not. The light was resisted by the darkness. Earlier, we said that the light referred here not so much to physical but to spiritual. Well, the same is true of darkness. Darkness in the Bible is often equated with the natural lost condition of men. Paul says, as I already quoted, once you were in darkness. And in Isaiah 9, the people who walked in darkness. And so darkness is equated then with man's sin, with his iniquity, and with his trouble because of sin. Darkness is used to describe even hell itself. The Lord Jesus, speaking to unbelieving covenant people, he says they shall be cast into outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so when it states that the darkness did not comprehend it, it refers to the resistance of the unrepentant and unbelieving to the light of the gospel. It's referring to the fact that many are resistant to the coming of the Lord Jesus. They hate the light because they loved darkness, and they have made various attempts to extinguish the light. The darkness, it says, does not comprehend the light. There's a resistance to it. There's no welcoming of the light. The world resists the light, doesn't it? Because, why? Because they prefer to stay in the darkness of sin. Now, we often refer, don't we, to the works of darkness. And everyone knows that it's at night when much of the evil is committed. And the reason that light is rejected is because it exposes something. It reveals the hidden things of darkness. I was reminded of that this last week when I went to visit someone in my congregation. And on their porch, they had this brilliant LED light. And not only did it lighten up as you approached it, but it was motion sensitive in the sense that it followed you. It was a little bit intimidating. You came up to the driveway already, and all of a sudden this light goes on, and then you walk to the side, and it follows you, and it follows you as you walk up to the door, and it shines on you right as you stand in front of the door. Now, then such it wasn't frightening to me, because it was lightening my path. It was guiding me and directing me to the door. But just think, if I was a thief or a vandal, which was up to no good in the darkness, when that light suddenly shines and it was bright, it lit the whole front yard. If you were a thief, and especially as it began to follow you around the yard, you would retreat, wouldn't you? You would retreat to the darkness. You would retreat to the shadows, because it exposed you and it exposed your works of darkness. Well, that's the same of the light of the gospel. Sinful human beings, depraved individuals who love darkness rather than light, they will reject it. They will flee from it because their deeds are evil, and therefore one who's living in sin, he hates the light. Why? Because it exposes him. Now, we have to be aware that whenever we respond in hostility to some biblical teaching, we have to ask ourselves, am I upset because it exposes sin in my heart? Am I rejecting, perhaps, the light of the gospel? This is true in regards to preaching as well. If you find yourself hostile towards some application in a sermon, and it's, by the way, it's always about the application, is it perhaps because you love sin, the sin of darkness? We have to be careful, don't we, that by our actions and our attitudes, we aren't extinguishing what God is exposing by the light of the gospel. Now, there have been various attempts to extinguish the light of the world. Even before Jesus Christ came into the world, Satan, of course, is the prince of darkness. You remember how Jesus describes him as the prince of darkness, and he's behind all these attacks. Ever since that promise was given to Adam and Eve after their fall into sin, the devil has been trying to extinguish the true light of the world. Why did Cain kill his brother Abel? Why did he? Because he hated the light that was in his brother Abel. Cain was in darkness, and so his hypocrisy was exposed by the sincerity of Abel's sacrifice. And so Cain, he tries to snuff out the light of his brother Abel. Why did the people refuse to listen to all the warnings of Noah as the preacher of righteousness? Why did they mock him? Why did they scorn and scoff him when he was building the ark? Wasn't it because they lived in darkness? They didn't like the light of the gospel. They didn't like the proclamation of the truth. And they mocked and they scorned him. And why did so many of the prophets in the Old Testament already face persecution, in some cases even death, for bringing the light of the gospel? Why did Elijah suffer so? Why did Ahab and Jezebel so persecute Elijah? Because they hated him. They hated not only him, but they hated the light which they brought upon their sin and the exposure that it gave to their own hearts. They hated the light. But is things any different in the New Testament? Herod, after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and after hearing of it from the wise men, he was so intent on extinguishing the light that he went and he killed all the young children of Bethlehem in his attempts to extinguish the light. He hated it. Or think of the scribes and the Pharisees, because their works were wicked, and because of their hypocrisy, they tried to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ exposed them. He called them whitewashed sepulchres, and they hated him for it, because their hearts were full of darkness. They hated him and tried to extinguish that light so they could continue in their works of darkness. And even today, we have the resistance of the darkness to the light of the gospel. We supposedly live in a tolerant society, but there's little tolerance for the Word of God. There are often expressions of hatred against those who try to promote the truths of the Word of God. A few years ago in Chilliwack, actually, there was a public outcry because the Gideons were providing Bibles for the grade 5 children in the schools. And people were so offended by it. The same people who are imposing their views regarding perverted sexual sexuality by the curriculum that's being offered today. But they hated the Word of God, and they made every attempt to remove it from the public sphere because they loved darkness rather than light. But have you ever wondered, why the agnostic or the supposed agnostic or the atheist or the supposed atheist is so vehemently opposed to the Word of God? If it is, as they contend, only a book prepared by human authors, why are they so strong in their objection to it in any context? Why is there such hatred in their hearts against the light of the gospel? What motivates them in their quest to destroy the light of the gospel? If it is just another historic literary work, as they claim, then why not consider it alongside of all the other great historical works? Why not consider it as any other textbook or book or historical novel? Why do they not even want to hear it? Because they want to live in darkness. And they, by their vehement objections to the truth of the light of the gospel, they actually, ironically, give testimony, give evidence for the fact that the book, the Bible, is the living Word of God, which is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and they want to extinguish it. They don't want to hear it. Because the Lord uses it, and they recognize it, that it's a book like no other. And their works are darkness, and therefore, because the gospel exposes them for who they are, they hate it. One commentator, he writes this: "This is why people are unnerved to face the light of Jesus as it shines in the Scripture, and why they flee his light for a more comfortable darkness. His light shows our darkness for what it is. Will you turn away from that light, scurrying into spiritual shadows, or will you worship the glory it reveals, humbly confess the darkness it exposes in you, and come into the light of Christ to receive life and salvation? It is only when we humble ourselves before God, admit our need for his grace, and realize that Jesus came to help and to save us that we no longer flee from him. When our car is broken in the middle of the night, we welcome the arrival of a police officer. Well, there are other occasions when we may not welcome him, when we are breaking the law. And similarly, when we realize our need for the mercy of God and how willing he is to save sinners, then you welcome the light of Christ into your heart. But sadly, even in many churches today, the light is being dimmed. It is replaced in some cases even by the works of darkness. And today there are churches which are calling good evil and evil good. And so instead of opposing the works of darkness, they what do they try to do? They try to blend it in with the teaching of the church. And this leads to all sorts of compromise of the truth. And what in the past has been considered sin, even by non-Christians, is no longer considered sin any longer. Well, what's changed? What's changed? Well, darkness has resisted the light. But really, do we have to go much further than our own hearts to know of the resistance to the light of the gospel? Because even as Christians, isn't it true that there are occasions when we resist the light, isn't there? There are times when we reject the light of the gospel because we want to continue in the works of darkness. Are you aware of this battle against sin and darkness even in your own heart and your own life? You see, the light of the gospel, it also seeks to pierce through the darkness of our own heart. And it exposes our hearts, areas which are perhaps yet in darkness. Sin is exposed, and it's exposed particularly under the preaching of the gospel. Every sermon you hear is the light of the gospel trying to expose sin in some dark corner of your heart. What has been your reaction to that? Have you resisted it? Have you shunned it? Have you hid from it? Have you run from it? But really, that's terrible, isn't it? It's actually foolish. Since in the end, we stand before the bright light of the throne of God, and there we will be exposed, and nothing will be hidden. You see, it may be possible for you to hide from your sins, from others, and from others knowing about them, from your parents or your spouse or the elders, but there comes a time when all of it will be exposed. Have you seen the value of the light of the gospel in your own heart? And has that shining of the light, has it brought you to repentance over your own sin as you fled to the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you speak of that struggle as Paul did when he said, "The good that I desire I do not do, but the evil that I desire not, that is what I find myself doing." Are you sometimes in that struggle? Are you longing for the victory of the light over all sin in your life? You see, the light of the gospel shines today. And the light gives us hope because it pierces the darkness and it exposes sin. But isn't it actually a great thing when sin's exposed? You know, sometimes as a pastor, sometimes sin becomes exposed and you become aware of it. I had a very troubling situation lately where sin, horrific sin, was exposed. And my first thought was, how horrible? And it was horrible. But my next thought was, how gracious, how merciful of God to expose this so that there might be repentance, so that there might be a turning from sin to Christ. You see, sin being covered is no mercy at all. And so we can be thankful for the light, the power of the light of the gospel, which shines so brightly to expose sin in our own lives. Let's be thankful for it when it is exposed so that we might repent of it. We might be further sanctified by the Spirit of God, and we might walk in the light as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ shines in the darkness. And his purpose is to give life. You see, darkness, it leads to death. But Christ, as the light of the world, he leads to life. And that brings us to our last point yet, how the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He overcomes the darkness. There's one more sense in our text. It's not so obvious. In fact, some other translations bring this out a little bit better than our version. In the King James, we read that the darkness comprehended it not. But other translations have, and the darkness did not overcome it. Now, these meanings are related in the sense that they both involve conflict. In the one sense, there's a resistance to it. In another sense, in the other case, a battle occurs, but the darkness, while resisting it, is not able to overcome it. On a literal level, this word actually is this word translated comprehend means to seize or to apprehend physically or intellectually, in which case it means to understand. And this is the interpretation given in the King James, who render it, "And the darkness comprehended it not." But the word can also mean to overtake, or to overtake in pursuit, or to overcome. And if you turn in John 12, this word is used again. In John 12, verse 35, and we read, "A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you." In John chapter 12, verse 35. John 12, verse 35. "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest the darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth," or whether the darkness overtake you. And the ESV translates it like this: "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not comprehended it." And to say that the darkness does not comprehend it means that while the darkness has done its utmost to resist it, that in the end, the light will not be extinguished. And this is particularly the point. Christ, he came into the world as the light, and the world hated that light and tried to extinguish that light. But when Jesus was crucified, surely the prince of darkness even thought that he had succeeded. As Jesus hung between heaven and hell, we have this great struggle with the prince of darkness during those 3 hours of darkness, and it looked as if the Son of Righteousness had been extinguished. But it only seemed like it. Because he rose again from the grave. He broke the bands of sin and of death, and he rose victorious. And the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and he continues to shine through the gospel today, through his servants as the word is proclaimed, through his church as lights upon a hill. And this battle, it continues, doesn't it? But the end has already been determined. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has overcome the prince of darkness, who is the devil, and who victoriously already sits upon his throne in heaven. He's ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God, from which he shall come and return to judge the living and the dead. And many of you, too, can testify of the light, the power of the light of the gospel, can't you? In the past, you were in darkness, you experienced sin. You lived in sin, you even resisted the light, but the light of the gospel, it prevailed, didn't it? And it overcame sin, and it shone brightly in your life. Many of you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You had the darkness exposed, and you surrendered yourself unto this powerful light, and it brought you to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sin's been exposed to you, but you found hope in the light of the world. And the light which exposed your sin also became the one who guides you and gives you light for your life on your path, to equip you and to provide you for all you need in your journey. And so if you find yourself overwhelmed in the battle, in this battle in your heart between light and darkness, take encouragement from this truth that Jesus Christ has overcome. And we can take encouragement from the fact that one day he's going to return. You see, there's an element of which has not yet been fulfilled. When he comes, then the darkness will be thrust out, and his full glory shall be revealed, and all sin shall be thrust out into outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then we shall dwell in the eternal light, that dwelling place of God, which is spoken of in Revelation 22, verse 5. Night will be no more. They will need no light of the lamp or of the sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Amen.